Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Gittin, Daf Lamed Ches, the fourth parak HaShaleach. The Zichu Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zecha Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three Dafs are going to focus on, number one, on the previous Daf, the Gemara said that captors take ownership of their captives' labor and can sell them. Rish Lakish provides the source. The Torah says, Mehem Tiknu, from among them, referring to the people of Canaan, you may acquire slaves, which teaches, Atem Koni Mehem, you may acquire one of them, Lohem Koni Mehem, but they cannot acquire one of you as a slave, Lohem Koni Zem Yizeh, nor can they acquire one another as a slave. Although they cannot acquire each other's body as ordinary property, they can acquire their labor based on the Kol Vachomer. An idolater can even acquire a Jew for his labor, as taught in Kedushin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so certainly can acquire another idolater. Although this only proves they can be purchased with money and not through chazaka, such as capture, Rapapa says, Amun Moav Tihar B'Sichon, the lands of Amun and Moav were purified by Sichon. Although the Jews were forbidden from conquering the lands of Amun and Moab, once they were taken by Sichon, the Jews could then conquer it from him, proving that he acquired those lands. Finally, the Gemara proves that an idolater can even acquire a Jew, meaning a Jew slave who has partial Jewish status, from the following pasuk, V'yish mimenu shavi, and the Canaan king took of them captives, indicating they were owned as his captives. Pointing to the Gemara relates that there was a slave woman in Pumbedisa with whom men were sinning. Abai said, if not for Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Shmuel, Kol Meshachrer Avdo Over Ba'as, anyone who frees a slave transgresses a positive commandment of Lo'olam Behem Tavod, you shall work them forever, I would force her master to free her, so she could marry a Jew who would guard her. Ravina said that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to free her in this case, Mishum Milsad the Isur, because the matter of prohibitions transgressed. Abai, who forbids freeing a slave even to prevent transgressions, is challenged from an incident about a woman who was half slave and half free, whose master was compelled to fear because people were sinning with her. The Gemara answers that in the case of the half slave woman, she could not marry anyone, neither slave nor Jew. A full slave woman, however, can be designated to a slave who will guard it from other men and does not need to be freed. Similarly, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer once freed a slave to complete a minyan of 10 because mitzvah she'ani. A mitzvah is different and its fulfillment allows freeing a slave. And point with you, Rabbi said in Rav's name, HaMakdish Avdo Yatzo Echeru, someone who's makdish a slave, the slave goes free. He explains, Gufei Lo Kaddish, his body cannot be sanctified, since he's neither fit for a sacrifice nor his building materials. L'demei Lo Kamar, and he did not say that he was being makdish to the value of a slave, so this too was not his intent. Rather, the Lavi Am Kaddish Kamar, he was saying he should become one of the holy nation, the Jews. Rav Yosef quoted Rav differently, HaMafkir Avdo Yatzo Echeru, if one is mafkir a slave, he goes free. And the Gemara explains that he holds that only if he is mafkir a slave does he go free, but one who's makdish a slave, he does not go free because dilma l'demei ka'amar, perhaps he meant to be makdish the value of the slave. Rabba notes his version of Rav is contradicted by Braisa, which teaches that if one is makdish all his property, the slaves are sold for the benefit of hekdish, but do not go free. The Gemara answers that Rav is considered a tana and can disagree with the Braisa. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On the previous daf, the Gemara said the captors take ownership of their captives' labor and can sell them. Rish Lakish provides the source. The Torah says, Mehem Tiknu, from among them, referring to the people of Canaan, you may acquire slaves, which teaches, Atem Koni Mehem, you may acquire one of them, Lohem Koni Mehem, but they cannot acquire one of you as a slave, Lohem Koni Zem Yizeh, nor can they acquire one another as a slave. Although they cannot acquire each other's body as ordinary property, they can acquire their labor based on the Kol Vachomer. An idolater can even acquire a Jew for his labor, as taught in Kedushin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so certainly can acquire another idolater. Although this only proves they can be purchased with money and not through chazaka, such as capture, Rapapa says, Amun and Moav Tihar B'Sichon, the lands of Amun and Moav were purified by Sichon. Although the Jews were forbidden from conquering the lands of Amun and Moab, once they were taken by Sichon, the Jews could then conquer it from him, proving that he acquired those lands. Finally, the Gemara proves that an idolater can even acquire a Jew, meaning a Jew slave who has partial Jewish status, from the following pasuk, V'yish mimenu shavi, and the Canaan king took of them captives, indicating they were owned as his captives. Pointing to the Gemara relates that there was a slave woman in Pumbedisa with whom men were sinning. Abai said, if not for Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Shmuel, Kol Meshachrer Avdo Over Ba'as, anyone who frees a slave transgresses a positive commandment of Lo'olam Behem Tavod, you shall work them forever, I would force her master to free her, so she could marry a Jew who would guard her. Ravina said that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to free her in this case, Mishum Milsad the Isur, because the matter of prohibitions transgressed. Abai, who forbids freeing a slave even to prevent transgressions, is challenged from an incident about a woman who was half slave and half free, whose master was compelled to fear because people were sinning with her. The Gemara answers that in the case of the half-slave woman, she could not marry anyone, neither slave nor Jew. A full slave woman, however, can be designated to a slave who will guard it from other men and does not need to be freed. Similarly, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer once freed a slave to complete a minyan of 10 because mitzvah she'ani. A mitzvah is different and its fulfillment allows freeing a slave. And point with you, Rabbi said in Rav's name, HaMakdish Avdo Yatzel Echeru, someone who's makdish a slave, the slave goes free. He explains, Gufei Lo Kaddish, his body cannot be sanctified, since he's neither fit for a sacrifice nor his building materials. L'demei Lo Kamar, and he did not say that he was being makdish the value of a slave, so this too was not his intent. Rather, the Lavi Am Kaddish Kamar, he was saying he should become one of the holy nation, the Jews. Rav Yosef quoted Rav differently, HaMafkir Avdo Yatzel Echeru, if one is mafkir a slave, he goes free. And the Gemara explains that he holds that only if he is mafkir a slave does he go free. But one who's makdish a slave, he does not go free because dilma l'demei ka'amar, perhaps he meant to be makdish the value of the slave. Rabba notes his version of Rav is contradicted by Braisa, which teaches that if one is makdish all his property, the slaves are sold for the benefit of hekdish, but do not go free. The Gemara answers that Rav is considered a tana and can disagree with the Braisa. All right, so now we got our siman daf lamed ches, and our standard siman relates to a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup for the siman, chicken soup. So here goes. The Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well was shocked when he saw the promiscuous slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed simply by her master being makdisher. Once again, slow motion. The Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup, that must be learned off Lamed Ches, a davar lach. The Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well, which reminds us, although idolaters cannot acquire each other's bodies as ordinary property, they can acquire their labor based on a kal vachomer. An idolater can even acquire a Jew for his labor, as taught in Kedushin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so certainly he can acquire another idolater. So the Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well was shocked when he saw the promiscuous a slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed, which reminds us. The Gemara relates that there was a slave woman in Pupendisa with whom men were sinning. Abaya said, if not for Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Shmuel, Kol Meshachre Avdo Over Ba'ase, anyone who frees a slave transgresses a positive commandment of Lo'olam Behem Tovodu, you shall work them forever, I would force her master to free her so she could marry a Jew who would guard her. Ravina said that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to free her in this case, Mishum Milsed the Isura, because of the matter of prohibitions transgressed. So the Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters were acquired as well was shocked when he saw the promiscuous slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed simply by her master being makdisher, which reminds us Rabba said in Rav's name HaMakdish Avdo Yatzel Echeros, someone who's makdish his slave, the slave goes free. He explains Gufei Lo Kaddish, his body cannot be sanctified since he's neither fit for a sacrifice nor his building materials with the Melo Kamra, and he didn't say that he was being makdish the value of the slave to donate that amount, so this too was not his intent. Rather, Dilahavi Am Kaddish Ka'amar, he was saying he should become one of the holy nation, the Jews. So once again, the Jew who was acquired by an idolater to make his delicious chicken soup and work next to idolaters who were acquired as well was shocked when he saw the promiscuous slave woman belonging to a Jew next door who also made chicken soup was freed simply by her master being makdisher. All right, so now it's time for a four blot back chazar. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The adult orphan sitting on green ladders. Ladders? That must be more Daf Lamed Daled. The adult orphan sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate, which reminds us, Shmuel said the Yosomim who are minors who come to divide their father's estate, Basin appoints an apotropos for each of them who choose a favorable portion for them. Shmuel concluded when they become adults, they can protest the original settlement and demand a new division. Rav Nachman says they cannot, deem can, makoch Basin Yafet. For if they can, what good is the power of Basin? Rav Nachman is concerned here with protecting the power of Basin because in the case of orphans, it's a monetary matter, where Basin's power is absolute because of Hefker Basin Hefker. So the adult orphan sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate heard a man down below express relief when the shliach returned with his wife's get because she said to come the next day, which reminds the Gemara writes that Gidu Bar-Ri'uli sent a get to his wife with the shliach. His wife told the shliach to come back the next day, and when the shliach reported this to Gidu, he exclaimed, Baruch Hatov Bahameitiv, blessed is he who is good and does good. Abai said that although he demonstrated his relief that the get was not delivered, the get is not void and the shliach may give the get. Rav said the get is void. The Gemara explains that Abaye holds Gilui Yadayta Begit to Lav Milsi, a show of intent, is not significant enough to void a get, and Rava holds it is. So the adult orphans sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate, heard a man down below express relief when his shaliach returned with his wife's get because she said to come the next day, and saw that the get would have been valid because it included all five of the man's name, which reminds us, Rabban Gamliel Hazaken decreed that one must write Ploni and every name that he has, and do the same for his wife as well as their cities. The decree was Mipnei Tikkun Olam, for societal benefit, because people who know one of the parties by a different name will think she's not divorced, and their subsequent children are mamzerim. Daf Lamed Hey. So the simon for Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. After the cute little children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey, a children's choir singing la la la. After the cute little children's choir in the green outfit sang the Wild Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread, and the sudden death of a child, which reminds us, on the previous daf, the Mishnah taught that Basin refrained from allowing an almana to swear before collecting her ksuba, that it wasn't prepaid, until Ram Gamliel decreed that the almana vows whatever the Yisomim wish and collects her ksuba. The Gemara relates the incident that led to this. A man once deposited a gold dinar with an almana, who later accidentally baked it into bread and gave it to a poor person. When she couldn't find it, she swore to the lender that one of her children should die if she benefited at all from it, and subsequently a child died. The Gemara explains that an almana who toils to care for the orphans is more likely to rationalize swearing falsely that she has not collected, feeling entitled to payment for her efforts. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfits sang the Wild Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, which reminds us, Rav Huna says, that an almana vows to the Yisomim only if she is not remarried, but if she remarried, we do not have her vow, and she cannot cut her ksuba. The vow does not prove anything because her second husband can revoke it, as opposed to a vow before marriage, which he cannot revoke. Rav Nachman argues and says, Afilo Nises, she may vow to collect even after she's remarried because the vow is made publicly in front of 10 people, and he holds that a neder made publicly cannot be revoked by the husband. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfits sang the Wild Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinner and bread, and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, who then details all their circumstances on the neder to get a heter from a chacham, which reminds us, we machokas, one must detail a neder for a chacham's heter. On one hand, sometimes the person might cut out some of the details of his account, and the heter will be invalid. On the other hand, Rapapa says one must detail his neder to a chacham, Mishum Milsa de Isura, because a neder may have been to prevent a prohibited matter, such as our case, a potential theft. It's therefore critical that the chacham is informed about the cause of the neder. Daf Lamed Vav. So the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim, lulavim, that must be round off lamed vav, lulav. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, which reminds us, the Mishnah daf lamed dal lamed beis taught that aiding sign on a get for tikkun olam. The Gemara objects that it's a derisive requirement to sign all documents. Rabbi answers that the Tanz Rabbi Lezru holds Edi Masiri Karti, and signatures are never biblically required, and the Pasuk's only giving advice. The rabbis instituted that Edim sign on a get because sometimes the Edim to delivery will die, or sometimes they'll travel abroad, leaving her unable to prove she was divorced. Signing the get provides her with proof of divorce. Rabbi Yosef says that the Tana can be Rabbi Meir, who requires signing biblically. Still, this derisive requirement is satisfied without writing their names, and they decree that witnesses should write their names when signing gittin. So, the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches the background of Hillel Zaken's enacting pruz bowl. He saw that people resisted lending each other, fearing that the loan would be canceled by Shemitah, and thus violated the commandment of refraining to lend money. So the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, were shocked and dismayed when they heard Basin declare them hefker, making them hefker, which reminds us, Rav explains that pruz bowl is effective even according to the opinion that Shemitah nowadays cancel loans, because biblically, hefker basin hefker, what basin declares onerous is actually onerous. Two different sources for hefker basin hefker are brought. Daf Ramad Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Ramad Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The Baal Chov shooting his green laser tag gun at borrowers with loan documents not canceled by Shemitah, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses two types of loans that are not canceled by Shemitah. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that a loan in a shtar sheyesh bo achrayas is not canceled by Shemitah because the payment is considered already in possession of the lender. And a malves chaver malves al mashkam, one who lends his friend money on collateral, does not relinquish the loan in Shemitah. Rav explains that a lender acquires a movable collateral considering the payment in his possession. So the Baal Chov shooting his green laser tag gun at borrowers with loan documents not canceled by Shemitah was happy to put down his gun and say, "I'm relinquishing the debt," to a borrower who approached him to repay, who then responded, "Even so, I wish to pay," which reminds us. A different mission in Shviya states regarding a borrower repaying a debt canceled by Shemitah, Sarak Shiyomar Mishamadani, the creditor must say to him, "I'm relinquishing the debt." And if the debtor said, "Even so, I wish to pay," he may accept the money from him, as it says, "Vezed Dvar HaShemitah." And this is the matter of relinquishment. Dvar is darshaned as speaking, dibor, teaching that the creditor must verbalize a relinquishment before accepting payment. So the Baal Chov shooting his green laser tag gun at borrowers with loan documents not canceled by Shemitah was happy to put down his gun and say, "I'm relinquishing the debt," to a borrower who approached him to repay, who then responded, "Even so, I wish to pay," and then gave a laser tag vest and gun to a captive slave who had been ransomed to be a free man and told him, "Enjoy these. You're a free man," which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Evid Shenishba Ufada'u, a slave who was taken captive and other Jews ransomed him. Imushum Evid Yishtabit, if they ransom him to be a slave, he's enslaved. Imushum Ben Chorin Lo Yishtabit, if they ransom him to be a free man, he's not enslaved. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that in either case he returns to enslavement. Two different pshatim are given for this Mishnah. Alright, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn in the background behind Hillel HaZaken's enactment of Pruz Bol? That's on Dav. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that an idolater can acquire another idolater and a Jew for their labor? That's on Dav. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss the status of a captive slave who was ransomed by others? That's on Dav. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have the incident of the Almana swearing that led to Basin refraining from making a widow swear before collecting her ksuba? That's on Dav. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you have Malkokas when one is Makdish a slave if the slave goes free? That's on Dav. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you have Malkokas if the husband voided the get in front of Basin and not in his wife's presence, whether the get is Batal or not? That's on Dav. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have two different sources brought for the concept of Hefker based in Hefker? That's on Dav. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 8. Which do we learn that the two loans which are not canceled by Shemitah are Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayas VeHamal VeHamalos? That's on Dav. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have the prohibition to free a slave and the exception for Isser? For example, the case of the promiscuous slave woman. That's on Dav. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have Machokas if one must detail a nether for a Chacham's Heter? That's on Dav. Lamed Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhorn of Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.